Good afternoon and welcome to Aceros Arequipa's second quarter 2023 earnings conference call. Joining us today from Lima, Peru is Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, Chief Financial Officer and IRO. Today he will be discussing Aceros Arequipa's second quarter 2023 results as per the press release issued by the company on July 18th. Please note that all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation is finished, we will open the floor for a Q&A session with the management. At that moment, further instruction will be given for the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Please be advised that today's call for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you are a member of the media and wish to direct any questions to the company, please contact the company directly after the call. For a copy of the earnings report or the webcast presentation that accompanies this call, please visit the company's website. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release before making any investment decisions. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, CFO and IRO of Aceros Arequipa, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Guzmán, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Aceros Arequipa's second quarter 2023 conference call. Before we get into the result, let's briefly review today's agenda as shown on slide number 2. First, I will take a moment to highlight some relevant events and recognitions. Then I will provide an overview of our consolidated results. Thirdly, I will get into financial performance in further detail. And lastly, we will be providing a guidance for the end of 2023 before the Q&A session. Now let's move to the first point of our agenda where we will discuss some notable events and recognitions in slide number 3. In May, the Lima Stock Exchange reaffirmed Aceros Arequipa's position in the Standards and Poor's and BBVA Peru General ESG Index. Our company continues to be recognized as one of the 14 components of this index. The index serves as a benchmark for transparency and sustainable corporate practices in Peru, and we are honored to be part of it. In July, we were once again recognized for our sustainable management practices by Peru Sostenible. This marks the sixth consecutive year that Aceros Arequipa has received this distinguished recognition. Furthermore, we received a special knowledge in the value chain category. These awards validate our commitment to sustainability and responsible business practices, driving us to continuously improve our environmental and social impact. Also, in July, the Board of Directors approved a cash dividend payment of approximately 10.6 million soles payable in US dollars and is scheduled for August 2023. Now, please let us proceed to slide number 4 for a brief review of our financial results. Please note that all present figures are consolidated and unaudited for 2023. Additionally, any growth state shown or commented will be year over year unless stated otherwise. During the second quarter of 2023, revenue experienced a 13% year over year decrease due to lower volume and prices in the local and recurring export markets. This was partially offset by higher exports of products, billets, and byproducts to non-recurring markets. Lower volumes and selling prices coupled with lower cost reductions affected our EBITDA and net profits during the quarter. As of the end of June 2023, we continue reducing our inventory levels, leading to lower working capital requirements compared to the end of 2022. As of June, we continue with our scheduled investment with 110 million soles allocated to our CapEx. The company also registered a decrease in short-term debt, resulting in a lower net debt compared to December 2022. Let's please move to slide number 5 During the quarter, consolidated revenue reached $1.2 billion, a $180 million or 13% decrease year-over-year. Revenue decreased mainly due to lower volume and prices in the local and recurring export markets, partially compensated with export products, billets, and byproducts to non-recurring markets. The domestic revenue declined $289 million as volume and prices were lower. The reduction in prices were partially affected by a lower exchange rate since our products are priced in US dollars. Revenue reduction was partially offset by a PEN 109 million increase in revenue from other markets, which included sales of products and byproducts and billets to non-recurring destinations. In terms of foreign markets revenues, the Bolivian market remained our main destination, followed by Colombia. Foreign market revenues represented 25% of total revenue compared to 14% in the second quarter of 2022. On a per product basis, revenue declined across all core categories, with 157 million, 7 million, and 17 million reductions in revenues for rebar, wire rods, merchant bars, and other products, respectively. Now let's move to slide number 6 to discuss our operating profitability. Gross profit for the period was 107 million soles, which was 149 million below the figures of 2022, resulting in a gross margin of 9%. This decline was mainly due to lower volume sold and prices in the local and recurring export markets, as well as a higher composition of sales in non-recurring markets, which had a lower margin than the local market. Even though we experienced cost reductions, these reductions had a slower pace than the selling prices. We're still carrying on our inventory high-cost imported products that we expect will be replaced with lower-priced products by the end of this quarter and expect better margins towards the fourth quarter. As a result, the EBITDA for the quarter was lower than the previous year figures and reached 91 million compared to 225 million during the second quarter 2022. The EBITDA margin was 8% compared to 16% during the same period of 2022. Now let's take a closer look into the drivers of EBITDA on slide number 7. As we discussed earlier, EBITDA for the quarter was 91 million soles, which was 132 million lower compared to the same quarter of last year. This decrease was mainly driven by a 145 million soles decrease in gross profit, excluding depreciation and amortization. This effect was partially offset by lower SG&A expenses by 7 million and a 4 million decrease in other net expenses. The decrease in SG&A expenses was primarily due to lower personal expenses. Additionally, SG&A as a percentage of revenue was similar to the second quarter of 2022 and reached 4.6%. Nonetheless, the EBITDA margin reached 8%, which was 8 percentage points below the comparative year in the second quarter of 2022. Moving on slide number 8, let's discuss the drivers behind our net profit for the quarter. During the second quarter of 2023, the net profit was 18 million soles, which was 72 million reduction year over year, mainly as a result of lower operating profit by 132 million. However, this was partially offset by a higher positive effect of the currency exchange differences by 29 million, a lower net financial expenses, and a lower income tax by 29 million soles. Let's move now to slide number 9 to discuss our debt metrics. As of June 2023, total financial debt stood at 2.8 billion, which was 194 million lower than that as of December 2022. The lower debt was mainly due to lower short-term debt, which reached 1.5 billion, reflecting our efforts to reduce inventory levels and optimize working capital requirements. Debt balance for the new melt shop financial lease was 719 million soles. The long-term debt included a disbursement of $10 million and 94 million soles in June 2023 as part of the $163 million capex loans with Interbank and BCP respectively. Consolidated net financial debt reached 2.3 billion, a 104 million reduction as total debt was lower. Nonetheless, the net financial debt to EBITDA ratio increased to 4.8 times from 3.6 times registered as of December 2022, mainly due to lower last 12-month EBITDA. As of June 2023, 48% of our debt was denominated in soles, 44% in US dollars, 6% in bolivianos, and the remainder in Colombian and Chilean pesos. Now, let's move to slide number 10 to discuss working capital and capex. As of June 2023, operating working capital, which excludes cash and financial liability, reduced almost $200 million to $1.9 billion, mainly driven by lower inventory levels. Days of sales outstanding declines to 35 from 37 as of December 2022. Days of payable were 42, lower than 45 days as of December. And finally, days of inventory lowered to 147 days from 168 days at the close of 2022. Looking at the CAPEX, during the quarter, CAPEX was $110 million, mostly consisting of investments allocated towards our new rolling mill in Pisco, a lime furnace, a new tube plant in Bolivia, a non-ferrous recovery process, among others. Now, let's turn to slide number 11 to discuss cash flow. As of June 2023, the total cash balance was 542 million soles, a 14% lower than that as of December 2022. The cash flow from operation was positive by 400 million soles, mainly explained by the reduction of inventory levels and the EBITDA generated during the period. Cash flow from investment was negative 191 million, mainly due to the investment in property, plant, and equipment, such as the new rolling mill in Pisco, commented before. And the cash flow from financing was negative 299 million, which included net amortization of debt of 188 million soles and interest and dividend payments of 87 million and 25 million soles, respectively. Let's now move to slide number 12 so we can discuss an updated guidance for 2023. Now we will preview our view of what we should expect for this year to end, given today's context. Hold on while we get to the slide. Okay. First, let me address our revenue growth. For our guidance, we are taking into account the normalization of prices that we saw during the first semester of this year, where we expect to see higher total volumes. Our average prices are expected to continue to be lower than to 2022. As a result, we anticipate a decline of approximately 10% year over year in revenue growth. However, a devaluation of local currency towards the end of 2023 could increase somehow our revenues in real soles. Consequently, our EBITDA for the year should be above 460 million soles. However, as mentioned before, we are still carrying out our inventory with high cost imported products, and we expect to replace those products with lower price ones by the end of this quarter, and expected better margins towards the fourth quarter. In terms of our CAPEX, we expect investment from between 510 and 560 million soles during 2023. A main investment should be include our new warehouse in and steel center in Lurin, our new rolling mill line in number 3 in Pisco, among other key projects. Regarding dividend payments, following our policy, payments should be above 60 million during the year. Additionally, we anticipate that earnings per share will be close to 0.15 soles. We are confident in our ability to navigate the challenges ahead, as we have shown historically, and we remain committed to our strategy of delivering value to our stakeholders, supported by our quality investment, increased diversification, market leadership, and a continuous improvement processes. We thank you for your attention today and look forward to any question you may have during the Q&A session. Moderator, please proceed.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please message the host through Zoom chat and your microphone will be unmuted. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. The first question comes from Marco Mejia. Marco Mejia, please go ahead.
Well, good morning. Thanks for the presentation, Ricardo, Belisario. We have seen a 13% drop year over year in sales in second quarter 2023. Please, how much of this drop is caused by the fall in dispatches volumes and how much is caused by the drop in sales prices?
Okay, thank you. Volumes is around 16% approximately. The rest is prices to get the 30%. However, when you do that, when you should take into consideration is the devaluation of the currency that we have been experiencing since December. You know? When you have a lower exchange rates, since our revenues are denominated in US dollars, you have a double kick there in prices, you know, in dollars, and then in when you translate that in local currency. Looking forward for the next semester, if a devaluation happens and the exchange rates climb a little bit as most economies expect, we should get a better prices looking in local currency.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Bianca Venegas. Bianca, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation. If you could please elaborate a little bit more on the dynamics that you've seen that have impacted volumes, especially in the case of Peru that dropped 24%. Was it due to lower self-construction or what other dynamics did you see? And what should we be expecting going forward? And on a second question, please, could you elaborate on the upside risks, if you see any, of related to prevention activities to face the phenomenon El Niño, or downside risks related to the rains when they come? No. Thank you.
Okay. With the first question, what we have been experiencing is, of course, a reduction in volumes. It's affected both the commercial business and also the construction side. What I mean commercial business is low income homes that are built and which is provided through our retail channel. What we think is maybe some inflation has affected the clients, and that's what we have been experiencing in our sale on the sales side during the first semester. And don't forget that during the first quarter, we had also the effects of the closure of some during the riots that we had that also affected the distribution, and also we had the floods that affected on March. So it's a mixture of these these two aspects of what happened during the first quarter, coupled with a lower demand across the board. I want to make sure that the last question asked about the volume sales, 16% above, 16%, not less than 60%, but the tonnage during the quarter versus last quarter was 16% ahead. And following on your question, looking forward to the El Niño effect, we are working on some scenarios. We haven't finished them. But for example, if we look at history in the Niño of 2017, we grew 10% in volume. So that was because of the reconstruction or getting ready for the Niño that helped our sales. However, this time we have different economic situation that we need to take into consideration. So I don't have a straight answer for what the implication of the Niño will be this time, but we are working on different scenarios.
Very clear. Thank you.
There appears to be no more questions here. If you have, I will wait a minute if you. There appears to be no further question at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Guzman for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you all for your active participation in today's conference call. We truly appreciate your continued interest in Aceros Arequipa. As we move forward, we remain committed to transparency and open communication with our stakeholders. We invite you all to join us again for our third quarter 2023 call later this year to continue to discuss Aceros Arequipa's achievements and financial results. Finally, if you have any further questions or need any additional information, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Have a good day.